Welcome to the year of our Lord 2023. Amen? They used to always talk about the year that way, right? The year of our Lord. I want you to think about that when we talk today. There's a very familiar verse. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. You don't need to turn there. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Isn't that an interesting verse? There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. How important is it, therefore, that you and I know the season? How many of you would plan to go out next month in January and plant your vegetable garden to be harvested in the spring? Right? That does not work. The whole deal with times and seasons is, first of all, times and seasons are established by who? By the Lord. I would like to be able to establish them for myself, but that has never worked. I don't know about you. Does it work for you? Okay. And yet, it's important that you and I would understand from a spiritual perspective, from a life perspective, it's essential that you and I would understand what the season is. Here's another verse for you. And this is from 1 Chronicles 12:32. Maybe you remember it because we just read through these things. And it's talking about David's mighty men. And it says, there were chiefs, men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Do you hear that? Unless we understand the time and the season, it is likely that we will not necessarily know what to do. When you turn the chapter into a new season, you need to say goodbye to the old season. How many of you are ready today to say goodbye to the season that we have just left behind? Okay, now, I kind of expected that response, that everybody would say, please let us have a different season because of the events we've lived through, because of COVID and the lockdowns and people who've been sick and people who've died and schools closing and the economy and the... Do I really need to go on? But can I give you a reality that we should have all come to by this point? Those things should have never controlled our response. Amen. That was weak. Those things, circumstances, should never, ever have controlled our reactions. They should have never, ever let us be set or frozen in fear or anxiety or so hurt and disappointed that we couldn't function or just plain angry. Have you met any angry people lately? I just want to hope that they're not sitting next to you today. So, listen, here's one of the deals. If we are full of anger or frustration, if we're full of fear or anxiety, if we're full of hurt or disappointment, we have got to reconcile those things before we're going to be able to move forward with God. They have to be reconciled. We all know that when you are deeply hurt, if you don't get healing, it's very hard to move forward with God and with man. True or false? Same thing with fear. The Bible tells us, John writes very clearly, fear has torment. Fear is a tormenting issue. Okay, so this is an encouragement, and then I'll get actually to what I want to talk to you about. Here's the encouragement. Find the time to sit down before the Lord and to ask for God's help to leave previous reactions to previous circumstances, anxieties, fears, hurts behind. Why do I say that? Because I believe you and I are designed by God to enter into new, fresh seasons in a regular way. How many of you are ready for a new and a fresh season in your life with the Lord, okay? If you desire that, if you want that, you have got to reconcile the things in the past that are a problem in your soul. Amen. Here's the verse I really want to get you to. There's a Bible prescription that I found to help us to move into a new season. And by the way, it's not just a matter of reconciling the stuff that was tough in the last season, but it's also a matter of being grateful to God that He was with us through the season. Can I tell you something? You endured the season. I endured the season. We're still here. We're still functioning. We're still going forward by the grace of God. He hasn't left us. He hasn't forsaken us, and He's not going to. But here's a Bible prescription for you today to help you to move in a fresh way into a fulfilling season for yourself and for Grace Church. And it's 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. I could have read about 8 verses here, but we're going to try to keep it simple. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Now, there are a bunch of things in those verses, and I don't have time to go through each and every one of them, but let me just say this. Number one, Peter is writing to a scattered people. They're persecuted, they're scattered, they're in different places, and Peter is writing to them, and at this point in this message, he basically says this to them. Listen, the end of all things is near. How many of you know that the end is nearer today than it was? How many of you also know, I love this verse, this too shall pass. So I like to look backwards and say, this too shall pass. I'm nearer to God's kingdom and seeing Him face to face than I was before. And I believe that's why Peter starts this. It's an encouragement. It's not a fear thing. It's an encouragement. The end of all things is near. And then he says three things. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Are you listening? Can you be clear-minded when you are angry? When you are desperately hurt? When you are running to and fro because there's too many things to do? Can you be clear-minded in those instances? So Peter is trying to say to us, look, the end of all things is near. Certain things have happened. Certain things have passed. We're closer to the day of the Lord than we were before. So it's time for you, dear saints, to be clear-minded, focused in your outlook. Not moved around by the news, not slammed by all kinds of events publicly, but literally become focused in your mind. Listen to me, not double-minded. Anybody ever have an argument with themselves? How many of you know you don't need your spouse to argue with? You can argue with yourself. Maybe you ought to get that settled before you talk to your spouse. Just a thought. Okay? So Peter here is saying, be clear-minded. You need to be focused in your mind toward where is my life going? What am I expecting from God? Where am I headed? And then he adds this other thing that's very interesting. And be self-controlled so that you can pray. Clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. In other words, clear-mindedness and self-control are needed for you and I to be able to focus on the connection that we say we want with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. One thing about self-control, and then I will close. Self-control, as you may know, when Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit in the letter to the Galatians, is actually the last one of the nine that is listed. Self-control. What does self-control mean? By the way, I love the fruits of the Spirit because as it goes, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, godliness, self-control, all right? Against such as these there is, listen to me, no law. Did God ever bend down one day and say to you, okay, that's enough kindness. Stop being kind. In other words, when the Bible says against such as these there's no law, there's no limit. Can you ever imagine God saying to you, you know, you've been doing really good. That's enough goodness. You know, you got so much goodness coming. No. Self-control. And what is self-control? And I just would challenge you with this. Do you think Jesus needed self-control when he was on the earth? If you read what he says, you have got to be convinced he desperately needed self-control. And he operated in when he said, my teaching is not my own. I only teach what I hear the Father teaching. That's self-control. He saw his life as not being the result of his own emotional responses, his own words, his own thoughts, his own actions. He saw his life as being the expression of the God who made him and sent him on a mission, such that everything he did was with the Father and was the result of the Father's grace in his life. Self-control is restraint in our emotional response, our actions, our words, and our desires. I hope that you will look at this year, and I hope you'll take some of what we're saying today so that you can focus on the importance of you and I partaking in the grace of God and living out of his nature in the way that he designed us to do. The Lord bless you.
I want you to take your Bibles this morning. If you have them, go to Psalm 37. We're going to read verses 20, or we're going to look at verses 23 through 26 briefly today. The Lord is faithful. Amen. Amen. Psalm 37, verses 23 through 26. What we have in this passage is David reflecting over his life. He's come to the end of his life. He's reflecting on it. And if you've been following through the devotions, which, by the way, real quick commercial, we start our next book for the next 6 weeks tomorrow. We're going to go through the book of Proverbs together. If you've seen it on our GCS community page, and I believe we have some handouts that are in the back if you need one to follow along. Tomorrow will be chapter 1 of Proverbs, and then the message will come somewhere next Sunday from chapters 1 through 5 of Proverbs. But we're going to go through that and look at wise living. Anyway, back to what I wanted to tell you this morning. David, if you've been going through with us over the devotions the last couple of months, we've been looking at 1 and 2 Samuel, so you should be very familiar with the life of David. You've seen what David has seen. You know of his struggles. You knew of the suffering that he went through. You know the sin that he had gotten himself into. Can I get turned down a little? I'm very loud, and I can hear it. Thank you. And he's seen it with Israel as well and the people of God. But he comes to the end of his life, and what you find here in this psalm and these all the way through Psalm 37 is he's still praising God. He's still praising God through the midst of all of it because God has been faithful. And upon the end of his life, he shares some things and some things that we're going to specifically look at in verses 23 through 27 that are worth remembering that he wants the next generation to know. And I truly believe as we get out of 2022 and as Pastor Peter alluded to what he brought and head into a new season, by the way, that new season is what grace is heading into. If you've been living under a rock here at this church, it's about to hit you right in the face. There are some big changes coming at Grace in 2023. Not 100% sure how it will all pan out, but the Lord is going to be faithful. Amen. And as we move into that next season, and unsure of how it's going to look, it's good for us to remember some things about the Lord as we go into 2023, whether it's you personally or whether it's us corporately as a church. Number one thing I want you to remember is that the guidance of God will still be there. The guidance of God is readily available to you. Look at verse 23. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." How many of you guys want to be a better person in the new year? Right? Maybe that's one of your resolutions, a broad generation. You want to be a better person. How many of you guys want to have more joy in your life in the new year? Okay, better person and joy. By the way, if you want that, it's found right here in this verse. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How do you get to be a better person? How do you get to have more joy? Folks, follow his word. His word has ordered it. If you want to be a better person, it says, follow the way that the Lord has ordered. You get that through his word. Listen to me. If you want to have that order, if you want to be a better person, read his word, follow his word, obey his word, submit yourself to his word. And look what will happen when you do that. It says, and he delighteth in his way. What David is basically telling the people as he's giving this verse is, look, the only reason towards the end of my life and everything I've been through, the only way that I am where I am today is because of the Lord. I followed him. He ordered my steps. I delighted in him. He guided me every single step of the way. You know, we get in ourselves a lot of issues and a lot of problems when we don't follow the ways of the Lord. When we try to go on our own steps, we try to go on our own paths, we try to tell the Lord, look, I know what you have ordered, I know what you have put into place, I know where you want me to go, but I think I know better. And what happens when we go down our paths that are contrary to the Lord's paths? It brings shame, it brings guilt. It brings hardships in our life. Why don't we just follow the steps that the Lord has ordered and be delighted in his ways and have joy? His guidance is readily available. Second thing I want you to see is the grip of God is still as firm as it's ever been in 2023. The grip of God is as firm as it's always been. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him in his hand. Look, as you strive to be a better person, if you strive to have more joy in your life, as you're striving by follow the steps the Lord has ordered, whether it's personally or us as a church, listen to me, newsflash, in the new year, you're going to make mistakes. Did you know that? You know, we're not always quick to admit that we mess up, right? Or that we make mistakes. But you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall short. You're going to do the wrong thing. You're going to mess up. But here's the grace in the midst of it. Just because you mess up, just because you disobey, just because those things happen, look at what it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He shall not, what's he talking about, utterly cast down? It means no hope. It means cast out of God's presence. It means not being in the presence of the Lord anymore. Let me put it in modern terms for you, New Testament church. It means you lose your salvation. Aren't you glad this morning that you can't lose your salvation? If you're saved this morning, you can't lose your salvation. I think going into 2023, that's something the church needs to be reminded of. If you are saved, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you've professed the finished work of the cross, the Holy Spirit has come, it has resided inside of you, your salvation is safe, secure in you until the day of redemption. Yes, you still have to contend with the flesh. Yes, you still will sin. Yes, you still will fall. Yes, you still will. But God's grip is on you, and you will not be cast out. You will always be in the presence of the Lord. He's got you. It's one of the things I hear from so many people. Whether it's through emails, whether it's through messages, whether it's through private conversations. How could I be saved and do this? How could I be saved and do that? Listen to me. Your salvation's not dependent on you. Your salvation is dependent and finished on the finished work of Christ and the cross and the death and the resurrection. It's all finished. Notice it says, though he fall, he shall not be uttered, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Listen to me. Do you uphold yourself with your hand? No. The Lord holds you up. The Lord sustains you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord secures you. He has you in his grip. Remember that as you go through and you have failings and shortcomings as you try to serve the Lord. We got the guidance of God, the grip of God. Verse 25, the giving of God. That's still the same in 2023. I love how David puts it here. He says, I have been young and now I am old. He's looking back and spanning his whole entire life. It says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what David's saying? Over the course of all of my life, the ups and the downs, the troubles, I have seen time and time again that God will take care of his own. He will always supply for his own. He will always give his own what they need to do, what they are called to do. There's two groups here, right? His seed are those that are saved. You could say that that's you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today. The righteous are those that follow his ways, that are his disciples, right? Folks, you want to be a better person. You want to have more joy in your life. Remember that God's got you in his grip even when he comes down, but that also God gives you everything you're going to need. You are want for nothing. As long as you've got the grace of our God, you've got everything you need. Amen, church? You know, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. Did you know that? Right? Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, I believe the old hymn says. God will take care of you. Well, Pastor Jeff, you don't know what's going on in my life. Pastor Jeff, you don't know what's facing me here. Pastor Jeff, you don't know what I've got. God's got it. God's got it. Do you think that the things that pop up in your life surprise the Lord? Can you surprise God? No. God knows what you need. And when we follow him as his children, he makes sure that we have everything that we need. You know, I've been asked by so many ever since you've started hearing all these conversations about disaffiliation and the path of grace. Pastor Jeff, because I've been absent from a lot of these discussions, been absent from a lot of the meetings because, again, I have to be. But Pastor Jeff, how are you handling this? Pastor Jeff, are you worried? Pastor Jeff, are you stressed? How are you handling this? And I look at him, I said, I'm actually none of those things. I'm very much at peace. And people look at me a little funny. It's like, how can you be at peace when you don't know where your church is going to be by this time next year? How can you be at peace if you don't know if you're going to have a house this time next year? How can you be at peace if you don't know if Grace Church is even going to exist at this point next year? You're going to have a job, you're going to have insurance, and all these different things. Or what is Grace going to have to leave its building, find a new building, all these things? I'm probably giving you way too much detail than I need to. But listen to me. How can you be at peace? I can point to this verse. Because, folks, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. When we follow the Lord and stand on his word and take a stand for who he is and take a stand in righteousness and not the ways of the word, listen to me, he will provide. Listen to me, that goes not just for Pastor Jeff, it goes not for Grace Church, listen to me, that goes for you. When you stand for his word and his ways and are faithful and obedient, no matter if it makes sense, no matter if it seems irrational, no matter if the world tells you you're crazy, listen to me, you stand on his word, you stand on his ways, and you are faithful in them, he will provide. By the way, I have never, because we're going to be going into this in January, just so you know, I have never ever heard of someone who has committed their ways to the Lord and has totally, totally gone off the deep end and lost everything they've had. I have never, ever, ever heard of someone who decided, you know what, I'm going to tithe faithfully, and they lost everything. When we are faithful, when we walk in ways of righteousness, God takes care of his own. All the time. All the time. We need to remember that. He's a God that knows how to give good gifts to his children. Amen? Last but not least, verse 26. Listen, we've got the guidance of God, the grip of God, the giving of God, and the grace of God. It says, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Thank God in 2023, as we head into this new season, that the mercy of God is still the same. Thank God that we will still be serving a God that in many, many instances doesn't give us what we deserve. Amen? I mean, that's what mercy is here. Not getting what you deserve. You know, you look back at 2022 and you could praise God for his mercy. There's a lot of things that people went through that, praise the Lord, God kept from you. Am I right? It somehow hit everybody else and they got sick, but you're still in good health. How'd that happen? The hand of mercy being upon you. Right? There's so many things that could have gone wrong. There's so many things that in your actions and in your mistakes and in your sin, let's be honest, that could have taken place, but for the mercy of God on your life. That instead of dropping judgment, praise God, he gave you mercy. The mercy will still be there. Why? Because his seed is blessed. His seed is blessed. David saw that blessing time and time again. Why? Because, look back, it says, and lendeth. The word lendeth there in context with the mercy means that it's an aspect of restoring a relationship. Restoring a relationship. So even in the midst of his sin, David's sin, which we know the greatness of his sin, we read about it through 1 and 2 Samuel. Even in the midst of it, God's blessing was still there. Why? David repented. David continued to follow. And praise the Lord, that sin didn't keep him out, but God was willing to have a restorative nature with him. He restored his relationship. He was blessed. He had the presence of God to go with him. Listen to me, no matter what may take place in 2023, praise the Lord for his grace upon his church. Praise the Lord for his grace upon your family. Praise the Lord for his grace upon your life. Praise the Lord for his grace upon you. Amen. There's nothing you can do to change that grace, that mercy, that blessedness that you have in Jesus Christ. You know, I think it's interesting, the last two here, the giving of God and the grace of God, and how they work together. And as we get ready, my message was actually a segue into communion. We're going to celebrate with communion here